From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of June 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Ed Ossett will join us to discuss a fundamental view of the marketplace from Minnesota and University of Minnesota Extension. Jim Lowe will be here from the University of Illinois to talk about the cyber attack on JBS meatpacking and processing plants over the weekend and the problems that might create if it lasts for very long. And of course, we'll look in on Don Day's weather as well from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today settled at $6.88¾. That was 32 cents higher. The September at $6.02, up 28 and three quarters. And new crop December corn at $5.77, up 31 and a half cents. July soybeans 18 higher, $15.48½ the settlement price. November at $13.97, up 24 and a quarter for the new crop. The bean meal at $3.98.70, $3.20 higher. The bean oil up $1.60 at $67.39. July soft red winter wheat for the day at $6.93½, up 30. The hard red July at $6.37½, up 24½. And spring wheat up 45 and three quarters in the July at $7.73¼. Live cattle futures for the day down $2 at $116.60. Feeders $2.20 lower at $149.15. And lean hogs for 100 pounds finished at $119.65. They were up 30 cents on this Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us on this Tuesday to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Pretty interesting day. Corn rallying sharply. Spring wheat gapped higher today. I think it maybe led the marketplace, but was it just all weather-related day today, Wayne?
You know, a lot of stuff to do with the weather today. That sure was the main thing. You know, there was talk of some frost in Brazil. There was talk of freezing and frost in the northern plains up in Canada. There's talk of the new ridge coming in, the dry weather for the Dakotas, the Pacific Northwest, all of those things thrown together here. You know, we continue to hear that we've got a climatological drought through a good percentage of the U.S. We haven't had an agricultural drought yet, but we had a climatological drought. So, and we keep hearing all those stories, and boy, did we get a little turnaround and a little oomph in the gas today on our Tuesday here. So turnaround Tuesday it was again.
Is there an expectation that it will continue into the overnight and day trade tomorrow?
Well, you know, we did go limit up on the corn through the day earlier this morning. We did close about 31 higher in the July corn and about 31 higher in the D's. So, you know, we are looking for some, you know, good strength tonight. We will have crop ratings tonight. We'll have, you know, how much we've got planted, and we'll have crop ratings. It's going to be interesting to see what they say. The average guess, I think, is around 70% good to excellent on the corn coming out of this and 90% planted. So, you know, we're going to be looking at that a lot. So we're, you know, we've had a lot of the advisory firms that made comments today, they had stops in if we would close above certain levels to get out of another 20% of their hedges on this move. But basically right now, it does look like weather is the driving factor.
Yeah, so the likelihood that even because the trade is expecting the crop to be in good condition when they see those numbers, the likelihood that a number that says, oh, boy, that's a big chunk of the crop that's in a good condition that they're expecting. So I wouldn't think that would have much of an impact tonight. I can't imagine USDA very far off of that.
It does. I don't think they will, but we have to remember this was a change in the longer-term forecast that happened over the weekend. You know, we had a three-day weekend, and basically it put a little more confidence in where that front is going to be and that high ridge pressure is setting up, and that is what really sort of moved things here today as far as that goes. You know, as we look around here, boy, our crops look great. We think that we've got a great start to stuff here in central Indiana and the way crops look and coming on. And, you know, we're getting the just-in-time rains. You know, a lot of times we only got a quarter of an inch when everybody was getting, you know, three quarters to an inch at different places, but we got you know, three times we got a quarter of an inch. So I guess we got three quarters total, but it was spaced nicely, and our crops are looking great.
On the livestock side, the big news is the cyber attack over the weekend continued through today, and the United States, Australia, where it started, probably other nations as well, though I haven't read about that at JBS. We'll hear more about that in just a bit from Jim Lowe, vet here on campus. But it appears it played maybe in the cattle market, but not so much in the hogs?
Yeah, it did more in the cattle market because we're backing up the cattle here. None of the plants out west are slaughtering today. They're not going in. We're not getting any reports out of the cattle slaughtering facilities. Most of them are not taking cattle in today. You know, this could get serious if it goes on three, four more days. If it goes through the rest of this week, we could see a backup in the supply chain, and then you're going to see prices in the grocery stores shoot higher in a hurry if they don't have stocks to put out on the shelves.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, Jim Lowe from the College of Veterinary Medicine here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois now joins us to talk a little bit about what's been happening in the meatpacking industry as it is related to the cybersecurity issue at JBS. This is one of the largest meatpacking companies on the planet, operates in Australia, the United States, Canada, other areas of the world, I believe headquartered in Brazil. Thank you so much for joining me, Jim. This is a big deal, and I guess especially a big deal as it relates to the supply chain. What do we think has happened, or what's your perspective as you consider a cyber attack within the meat processing industry?
Well, Todd, it's certainly a little eerie, right? Because exactly a year ago, we were dealing with COVID and having plants closed because we couldn't have workers with coronavirus. And now we've just exposed another vulnerability, right? We've got highly mechanized plants with a lot of computer infrastructure, and we get a cyber attack, and they can't turn the lights on, it sounds like. So not a lot of information out there about what's exactly happened, which probably isn't to be surprising, given how companies handle these cybersecurity attacks. Don't want to expose too much. But I think what will happen to the industry is still to be told. We don't know yet. If it's today, probably not that big a deal. It sounds like a big chunks of the company are shut down today. If it goes on for the rest of the week, you know, I think that's really a problem across the entire protein complex. JBS is a large beef packer, large pork packer, but they also own Pilgrim's Pride. And so one of the big chicken players, we've already got a chicken shortage as we look at the supply chain and what impacts is that going to have on throughput of the chicken plants, et cetera. I know there's at least some, or at least some rumors that some of the chicken complexes are shut down as well. So I think to be determined what the impact could be, certainly could be some from a little bad to terrible, depending on how long it takes them to get back up and going.
And this backs up for the agricultural industry into the deliveries, because if they, for instance, I know the JBS Beardstown, which is the plant in western Illinois, it's a pork processing plant. The kill floors there are closed for today. Australia's kill floors were closed yesterday and today. This could back up into the producer sector really quickly, too.
Yeah, it always backs up in the producer sector, unfortunately, Todd, right? We've got basically 100% utilization of our slaughter supply chain resources in the industry today, and certainly on the pork side. Plants are designed to run at capacity, and so there's a pig supply to match those. So if we don't harvest pigs at Beardstown today, which is, you know, 20-ish thousand pigs that would be harvested there today, if those don't get harvested, they've got to get harvested sometime later, and we just run out of days, right? It's a perishable commodity. The pig's gaining weight every day. He needs to get to town. Same deal on the cattle side, and really the same on the chicken side. That those birds are growing rapidly, they need to go to the plant. They've got a schedule so that we can meet the downstream supply chain, right? So it's this whole I want to say it's tightly wound, but it's tightly coordinated system that from literally from conception all the way through to consumption, that chain's coordinated today. It's the most efficient in the world because of that coordination. But disruptions in the middle certainly have some impact on our ability to keep the chain moving. Pig side, we had a bad winter with disease. It certainly looks like we've been short of pigs to harvest. So probably less impact there than it would have been a year ago when we were full bore pigs coming to town. So we've got maybe a little more. If it could ever happen at a good time, this might be the good time. You know, pork prices are really high. We've been short in the cattle industry. Got a little more flexibility, right? Those calves can be pushed around, left on grass, not quite the same intensely wound system. But one day isn't the end of the world. At one of the packers, a week at one of the packers certainly is going to have ramifications for the supply chain. But then we also have to look at the markets. The beef complex is not down the limit this morning, but down significantly. You know, presumes this news has got something to do with that, even though pigs are pretty flat. So I think, you know, a lot happening there as we go back and look at our supply chains.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your explanations.
Thanks, Todd.
Jim Lowe is with the College of Veterinary Medicine here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He joined us to give us his perspective on what's been happening with the cyber attack related to JBS, one of the world's largest meat processing companies. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Grain Marketing Specialist from the University of Minnesota Extension, Ed Ussett. Ed, thank you for being with us today. I guess the marketplace, at least as we're talking, and for the past couple of days, has mostly been trained on the weather here in the United States. That's a change.
Yeah, it's a change, but this is where we're going to go from. For the next couple of months, it's going to be about weather. It's going to be weather or not. Last night's rain was as much as anticipated. It's going to be the change, you know, the outlook 7 to 10 days out, how that changes. We turned dry. That 7 to 10 day outlook turned drier over the weekend. Caught us a little by surprise, and here we go.
I guess from here out, rather than talk about the markets, we can just talk about the weather.
Just talk about the weather. And as Mark Twain once said, I believe it was Mark Twain said, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it.
Well, the CME Group does something about it. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's moving sharply higher. This seems fairly early in the season to have this much of the weather started to be built into the marketplace. So we've already been, based on weather out of South America, much higher than we currently are. So I'm wondering what you're thinking the next month looks like, or maybe just the next week looks like as we come into the WASD.
The focus here will remain weather. That's where we're going to be. Tell me how the weather will change over the next week, 2 weeks, or month. We've got some serious dryness in the northern part of the Corn Belt, the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. Western North Dakota, the western half of North Dakota is in really tough shape. But, you know, Todd, that's not exactly the heart of the Corn Belt. Southern Minnesota, northern Iowa could use more rain. And I think, you know, what else is different this week in the weather forecast? They not only took some moisture out of the equation, we're finally starting to talk about hot. I mean, it's one thing to be dry. It's another thing to be hot and dry. And we really haven't been hot. Here in Minnesota, we're looking towards, the high 80s, low 90s later on this week.
The question then becomes, if you're not in those areas and you put a crop in the ground, it looks good, you've got some heat, it's starting to look even better at this point. How do you play a weather market if you think you're going to have a crop?
Well, if you're deadly concerned about drought other places and the price keep going up, the way you play it is with an options type of strategy, something that protects you on the downside but leaves the upside or at least some of it open. And, you know, Todd, we could go into the wonderful and terrible thing about options is that there are 50 different ways to play them. And, you know, it all gets very confusing. But if you can't sleep at night, concerned about the drought, maybe not in your backyard, but someone else's backyard, it has to be an options type strategy.
And so you're going to buy a call?
You can forward contract, buy a call. You can buy puts, sell out of the money puts, out of the money calls to help pay for it. Like I say, we could go into 50 different strategies that position you for it. I think you do have to be in there. You have to look at pricing new crop grain and have an idea of where you're trying to get to in the next 6 weeks out into late June, early July. Are you aiming to get 30% new crop price, 50%, 70%? What's your number? And put together an idea how to get that done. I've been suggesting, you have been working with our experiment stations at the U of M, and we put together where we're trying to get a little bit sold every week. And we've been doing it for a month, and we'll continue to do it for the next 5 or 6 weeks.
When you think about the new crop futures contracts, do you see an inversion in them coming anytime soon?
You mean going beyond the December in corn into March? May.
Yeah, so what they look like in December, March, and into May.
That it certainly could happen if we have a short crop. But here I find a couple of things. I'm thinking about a few different things as I go here. First of all, I'm looking at basis levels. And as strong as the market is, the board is strong and so on, you know, basis levels for new crop delivery, at least in my neck of the woods, southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, are not that particularly strong. They're good, but they're not extraordinary in any way. They're better than average. Same is true of soybeans. In fact, the soybean bids nearby are not all that impressive. Wheat bids, the basis is not, I mean, it's a good basis, maybe a little above average, but it's not an extraordinary basis that's saying, look out, here comes a short crop. And I, you know, Todd, I know your listeners love it when I talk wheat, but I'm looking at these weather patterns. We can talk about dry and now getting warm in the northern part of the Corn Belt, but down there in the hard red winter wheat belt, they keep getting rain, and they've got a lot of moisture. I've got to believe, like, Missouri's got to be in great shape, eastern Kansas, your own state of Illinois, Ohio, Indiana, all in great shape. I'm concerned about too much moisture in the winter wheat belt because we're on the cusp of a harvest. And, you know, you want rain to develop a crop. You don't want it when harvest comes. It wreaks havoc with quality. It gives you issues.
Well, I'll be keeping an eye out on that. And then, of course, what that quality, it's kind of a double-edged sword because a really good wheat crop might get fed and a really bad wheat crop.
Speaking of feeding wheat, I have been watching this now for a month or better. Corn and hard red winter wheat values in the country, in South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, you've got hard wheat, not soft wheat, hard wheat, trading at anywhere from a 70 cent to more than a dollar discount to corn in the Western Corn Belt. Talk about a feeding opportunity for wheat. You know, I'm looking at Hastings, Nebraska. You've got bids for corn somewhere around $6.50 a bushel today. Bids for winter wheat, $5.80, 70 cents less. I just wonder how that's going to work into the demand side of this equation. if that continues, and I think it will for the next several months.
Yeah, so that'll make the end of the month reports, both the grain stocks and the acreage report, which could show more acreage for both corn and soybeans and the grain stocks, maybe some substitution happening. And there are rumors within, you know, just whispers within the hog industry that the USDA numbers are potentially off and that there just aren't the hogs out there. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like by the time we get to the end of the...
Well, keep an eye on the weather. That's what's driving this thing. If we're down tomorrow, it probably just speaks to a 7 to 10 day forecast that's been adjusted to put a little more water in, or maybe not as warm. But we're going to trade primarily that 7 to 10 day outlook from here. But for the next 4 to 5 weeks, that's what we'll trade.
Thank you.
Hey, wonderful. You take care.
I will. You too. That's Ed Ossett. He's with University of Minnesota Extension and a marketing specialist there. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find and listen to our program on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. We're joined by Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks, Don, for taking the time with us today. Can you tell me a little bit about the heat that's coming into the northwestern Corn Belt and the Canadian prairies? They're already dry.
Yeah, that is correct. You know, there are islands of little pockets of wetness that happen during the month away in some of those northwest Corn Belt areas. But, you know, for most of Iowa, not all of Iowa, but most of Iowa, they had below average precipitation for May. And some of those adjoining areas of the eastern Dakotas also in that same situation. And at least here over the next 7 to 10 days, while there is going to be a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity, they're going to fall short of averages. And in addition to that, there's also going to be some warmer conditions developing as well.
Tell me about that heat.
Well, we're going to see later this week, this is going to be especially noticeable as we get into Friday and the weekend. There's going to be a high-pressure ridge building in the desert states, and the winds aloft are going to direct this air from those desert states in the east-northeast trajectory across the northern Rockies into the northern plains and into those northwest Corn Belt areas, first reaching the northern Rockies and northern plains late this week and this weekend. You know, we could have temperatures across portions of the Dakotas, across portions of eastern Montana, getting into the 90s. And we're not talking low 90s, even deeper into the 90s than that. And then as we go beyond the weekend into early next week, some of those warmer temperatures will then move into those northwest Corn Belt areas. Pretty warm temperatures, really, for the month of June.
Anything else we should discuss for the day?
Well, one area that we'll need to watch that continues to be the most active when it comes to precipitation is some of those south-central areas, places like East Texas, the Gulf Coast, the western Gulf Coast areas down into Arkansas, the lower delta. They look to be pretty wet, while precipitation elsewhere is not going to be as widespread.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.